Well, good morning. Good morning. So today, play on words, as you can see. In the red, in the black, or in the light. There's so much that we can so easily get caught up in saying and allowing it to become our expressed idea. So we attach an emotion to it. What kind of emotion are we attaching? Are we keeping ourselves in a state of grace and peace, or are we allowing ourselves to become stressful? Worrying about what might possibly happen that is not of the good. You know, as it was said in here, from out of the heart of darkness comes the light. But it is important that we don't allow ourselves to dwell in this morbid or sordid idea. But this is not of God. It's from the lack of God mind. It is from a faith in lack, not a faith in the absolute. I found it interesting coming to terms and a realization that I've never experienced a lack of faith, but I have had put my faith into lack. I have put my faith into things that brought about stress and worry and concern. And as the years have gone by, here I am standing, realizing that most of that stress, worry, and concern never had to be experienced. Not at all. Things have been dealt with. I've moved on. Some things didn't go the way I like them to. Thank God for some of that. That it didn't go the way I wanted them to go. And some things went rather well. And then there's things that opened up that I never would have realized I would have been a part of. But all that lack, or that morbid, sordid dwelling in darkness, I didn't have to be a part of that, but I chose to be. And I asked myself, how did it help me? It didn't. In what way was it a purposeful and useful tool? It wasn't. If anything, it just kept me living in the shadows of some negative idea that I conjured up and creatively expressed and made manifest. And yet we have here in 2 Timothy, I love this, is one of my favorite, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind." So when I'm allowing myself to fall into the fear, then I have removed myself into an erroneous thought. I've removed myself from something that is there. I have camouflaged it, ignored it, turned away from it. And the more I go through life, the more I learn not to do this. It's not always easy. And sometimes I have to really just get into it and return. But I always return because of the attraction. Because the truth is the truth. And as I look through scripture, and I've looked through a lot of other different scriptures, which I'm going to share, I tried to figure out, has anyone, any great sage or prophet or any particular faith ever gone into this idea of in the black or in the red? And I'm going to share some stuff here because it never turns up. Now, I'm not saying that we throw out our books and bury and, you know, and burn our ledgers, because it's about consciousness. It's about how I am responding and reacting. I think of Nona Brooks when she didn't even raise the money. I want to say she raised the money. She didn't raise the money. But everyone was like, we need this money. And it wasn't there. And she was like, oh, yes, it is. It's there. She didn't raise it. How could she raise what was already there? But she understood the God idea. It's like expecting more from omnipresence. How can I get more from something that's absolutely there, complete and infinite? Now the prayer would be, may I be more receptive to that infinite source rather than asking for more of it to be there. For it's already there and infinitely so. And it really is about moving beyond the natural senses that we have, and we just see and we conclude and that's the end of it. I know that is not the bigger picture. It's man's idea in expression that comes with extreme limitation, with lack, with confusion. And again, with a faith in lack, a faith in disappointment, a faith in darkness. And here we have in the Bible reading, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It opens up the prayer. I shall not want. The shepherd, the one who takes care of, the one who provides. I don't need to put myself into that concern. It's ongoing work. It's not the easiest thing to stay like that 24/7. I surely do not. But I have my moments that are wonderful. And then I have my moments where I catch myself and return. And every time I return, turns out I was caught up in the lack again. So, one story I was going to share, and how people look at things and say certain words, and we don't realize how much we're now making manifest in those words we say. Sometimes it's not the belief as much as it can be changing one word in a sentence. And there was a friend of Adele's and mine who had mentioned, constantly mentioning about being broke. Just, I'm broke. But said nothing but financial woes and concerns. And at one point in the same breath, as she was sharing her stress and worries and problems about her financial situation, she begins to tell us that before she goes on vacation for 2 weeks in Egypt, she's stopping back home in another country that she came from to look at her house that she's having renovated and just make sure everything's okay with the people who are renting it. And as we walked with her outside back to her car, she showed us her brand new SUV that she was leasing. And that before she was going on vacation and back to her home, she needed to buy a whole new wardrobe. And she was like, I have to buy something for where I'm going back to home. I have to buy a wardrobe for my 2 weeks in Egypt. And I'm saying, oh, you're broke? Well, we seem to have different definitions of what broke means. But what a horrible word to say to myself. I'm broke. I'm broke. In so many different ways. I'm broken. You know, I'm broke. I'm living in a consciousness of poverty, regardless of whether I have 2 cents or $2 million. I'm living in poverty talking like that. And there's a great story. I believe it was someone who was in the concentration camps during World War II, who was very wealthy and had everything taken from him. And he lived in these camps for several years. But he found a way to make the best of it, and he would go out to a rock he found, that he really liked this rock, and he'd sit on the rock and just close his eyes and feel the warmth of the sun. And he'd hold on to what little food they had, and he'd sit out there and he'd slowly eat his bread and have his water and enjoy the sun and enjoy the rock he was sitting on, and he was in paradise in his mind, even though he had lost everything and was now in a concentration camp. And I wish I could think of his name. Apparently he wrote a book afterwards. But it really begins in here. In how this works up here. If I'm at peace with myself, then no matter what's going on or what I feel I don't have or should have or have too much of, if I'm at peace, I'm at peace. Which is priceless. I'm at peace. Right now, in this moment, I'm at peace. You know, and I'll walk away from it again, and I'll come back to it again, and maybe someday I'll stop walking away from it. But I know today that I'm the one who walks away from it. I don't need a reason to be at peace. Not from out here. I don't need a reason for that. I might find happiness out here, but I will not find joy. And if I'm looking for peace, I will only find it within. It is in my Christ mind or super consciousness that this is established. It is my returning into God consciousness. So in some of these readings, we have a few things from different faiths. Seek and ye shall find. In the Christians, we have seek, ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Judaism. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Hinduism. Even he who merely yearns for divine peace goes beyond the knowledge found in books. In the Sikhism, it can be said both ways, many millions search for God and find him in their hearts. Man proposes, God disposes. Islam, effort is mine to grant success in God. Man should propose, only God can dispose. Christianity, I have planted, but God gave the increase. Hinduism, though men may spin their cunning schemes, God knows who shall lose or win. Judaism, a man's heart diverses his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Wisdom is more precious than riches. Islam, riches are not from an abundance of worldly goods, but from a contented mind. Judaism, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than silver. Conquer with love. Islam, repay evil with good, and lo, he between whom and you there was enemy will become your warm friend. Hinduism, when one injures another, the injured turns round and injures the injurer. Similarity, when one cherishes another, the other cherishes the cherisher. One should frame one's rule of conduct according to this. Buddhism, conquer your foe by force, and you increase his anger. Conquer by love, and you will reap no sorrow. Lakota, Native American, force, no matter how concealed, begets resistance. So in all of this, and there's more, can be applied into everything that we consider to be abundance or lack of abundance. If I think there's a lack of abundance, I will continue to produce lack. If I believe that there's absolute abundance, then I will continue to produce an abundance. And I can't be going on what I think things look like just because that's what I see in front of me. There is something that we have been given, and that is the power and the authority to choose our path, to ignite our soul with this goodness and put it out forth and vibrate into that consciousness. And though that soul can't be tampered with, it will receive whatever I feed it. And on the one hand, I really like that because I don't have to wait in line, I don't have to fill out papers, I don't have to push buttons or sign contracts. I just have to be. I just have to be the I am-ness of absolute goodness, and to allow myself to express this and have my faith in it, no matter what I think I see around me. Because if I'm going to get caught up in what I think I see around me, it's going to tear me down. And it's going to drag me up and down the street, whatever flavor of the month happens to be there. That doesn't mean I'm not aware of all the negativity out there. And it doesn't mean that I find sorrow when I look at it, because it does. I can become sorrowful just looking at it. So I try not to. It doesn't mean I don't deal with life. I don't try and do what's good and right and be in the absolute of that. But I believe that walking in the light in and of itself will produce the goodness that one is truly seeking. and that I can give that, as it said in the one of the passages, if I put forth love, then it is love that I will be getting back far more than not. But if I'm going to go out there and fight and scream and yell, I'm probably going to hook up with a bunch of people who are going to want to fight with me and scream and yell. And we see a lot of that going on today, more than ever. And I have no desire to be a part of that. I really don't want to be a part of it. There's a small part of me that's attracted to it, but I'm constantly making the wise choice to walk away from it. It's out there. There's so much of it. It's not easy to walk out of this place where we can come together in a fellowship and then just go step back out there into all that. You know? So I have to be conscious. I have to be aware of it. I need to put my faith in the abundance and not put my faith in the lack. We have here, preserve the earth. Christianity. The earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs receiveth blessing from God. Buddhism. Do not contaminate the water. Do not throw your waste or leftover food into the rivers and lakes. In this way, you guard the lives of all living beings abiding therein. Now, metaphysically, think about that. Do not throw your garbage into the lakes and the rivers. Do not contaminate the water. How about this water? You know the body, right? How much is the water? What is the body's like? Over 90% water? So think, when I'm putting negative thoughts into my mind, that I'm contaminating the water of my body. I'm throwing garbage into the water of my body. That makes me stop what I'm doing. You see, spiritual principles are what I really have come to realize, and what makes it such a beautiful science, is that which governs the entire universe is the same principles that govern my being, that govern my innate self, and govern the body which I am supposed to be taking good care of while I'm here on earth. And so I think about that. There was in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, where they did this test. They had several jars of water. They didn't even talk to it. They wrote on a piece of paper and taped it to the water. Four of the five had positive writings, and one had something very negative. Just writing. And when they took the time, and then they took water from each one and looked at it under a microscope, the first four that had positive writings looked like crystals. It was absolutely beautiful. And the one that had a negative writing looked horrible and sickly, just from writing and putting that writing and taping that writing onto the jar. So that's how easy it is to fall prey to that negative source. More blessed to give than to receive. And it's more blessed to give than receive. It's in the Christian faith. Taoism. The wise man doth not hoard. The more he giveth, the more he hath. And the more he watereth, the more he is watered himself. And Sikhism. In the minds of the generous, contentment is produced. Islam. Those who give in charity have lent to Allah's a goodly loan. See, so it automatically comes back. In order for me to give, it has to first come through me. So in the giving, I'm already experiencing it. If I'm going to be a loving human being, that means I have to first, through me, have love. So I'm already in a loving state of mind as it comes out to others. And in the giving, I've already received. I'm already living in the abundance. And then like produces like. Which we have the law of attraction, the law of expression. Like produces like. I remember stories of during World War II that a lot of people were hoarding sugar because it became quite a precious commodity. It was going off to Europe and out to Africa and everyone else to take care of all the military. And so there wasn't too much of it left in this country. They found years later people had been hoarding it and keeping it in their garage, and it was ruined. Couldn't do anything with it because they were hoarding it rather than just being part of a perfect cycle. So when we think thoughts like in the red, in the black, it really is in the light. And I need not be concerning myself so much about these other things, but knowing that if I'm going to keep going ahead, then those things become quite secondary. They don't become as much a concern as I would be when I'm just looking at that and wrapping an emotion to it and just becoming completely inundated by it. What have I turned myself over to? What have I put my consciousness into? Where is my emotions and where is my heart? And how am I expressing through my soul at this point? Exactly what am I doing to myself? And how is that making manifest? You know, so I've read a bunch of these different readings because I don't find that anywhere in here. that idea of duality is not to be found in all these different faiths. Not one of them talk about duality. Good, bad, right, wrong, up, down. Black, red. It's always about the light. About the infinite abundance. About being in the midst of. And it requires the work because it's easy to be pulled out of that. To be pulled into the lack, the illusion, the erroneous thoughts. So anyway, if you'll join me in a closing prayer. We know the I am-ness of ourselves as infinite, beautiful, resourceful, abundant, and loving. Our strength comes from within. Our courage comes from within. Our faith of the most highest comes from within. So may I not look at the without, which tricks me into lack, but may I stay within. And may my faith remain strong in that absolute goodness. And may that be the like that produces like. And so it is. Amen.